We have a couple of stories for you as we come off of the President's Day holiday. You know, leading up to the APEC conference in Honolulu in 2011, there was lots of talk of world leaders donning aloha shirts in their native home. There'd been a precedent. Previous conferences included family photos of the dignitaries in matching clothes from the host country, like ponchos in Chile. But when the time came for Hawaii to host the 20-some world leaders wore dark suits, except for then Australian Prime Minister Julia Gillard, who wore a white jacket. While Tory Richards gave them all aloha shirts, President Barack Obama said it was up to each individual to wear them. No one donned them for the picture. And while Obama may not be the biggest fan of aloha shirts, there was one president who took up the fashion on his working vacations in Florida. Kirsten Stalling is the museum curator of the Harry S. Truman National Historic Site in Independence, Missouri, which includes the home he shared with his wife, Bess. It includes over 60 sports shirts, four of them aloha shirts from Hawaii manufacturers. She spoke with The Conversation's Jason Ubai about the collection.
President Truman was always a pretty spiffy dresser. In his early days, he owned a haberdashery, which is a men's clothing store in Kansas City, for about a year or so, and so was always very particular about the way he looked. He knew several tailors that made custom suits for him through the years, and so that continued through his vice presidential period. Granted, he was only vice president for less than 3 months when Franklin Roosevelt passed away. So when he became president, he was kind of thrust into the limelight, and there were some comments about his clothing generally, but for the most part, you know, he was a nice dresser, wore dark suits. He did like to wear a bow tie now and then, but that was the only place that he could really show kind of his personality, because like I said, most of his suits were dark blue, black, brown. You know, he might have a pinstripe, but nothing really crazy. So he did like to throw on a splashy tie. But it wasn't until he got to Key West and a couple of years into his working vacations down there that he adopted these colorful sport shirts. When he first started going in 1946 was the first time that he took a working vacation to Key West. He began to adopt the local clothing, but he really was still pretty conservative with it. So you'll see pictures of him wearing a tucked-in long-sleeve shirt but with the sleeves rolled up. And no coat. And then after that, you'll see a sport shirt with short sleeves, but it's still tucked in. And so there was kind of a progression. And then eventually you see him with, you know, shirt tails out, short sleeves, but still in the photographs, you can tell that they are solid, light-colored shirts. If there's a pattern, it's very conservative. That went on through 1947. And then in 1948 was when kind of the turning point happened. And there was a Miami-based sportswear manufacturer, and the president, his name was Ben Bloom, and he was with Royal Palm Sportswear. He sent Truman four shirts that what he called the Florida style, and all four of them had bright, crazy patterns on them. And he wasn't even sure if Truman would wear them or not, but he thought, I see him receive other gifts of different various things, and I would like to see if, you know, he would enjoy these. So he sent them, and sure enough, the next couple of days, Truman began wearing them and was photographed in them, and those pictures went out really across the nation, so everybody got to see Truman wearing these sports shirts. And so it was probably pretty shocking initially for people to see that, but that really encouraged other companies after that to send him additional shirts. And the other thing that's coinciding with this is just the rise in popularity of these sports shirts. I mean, men's sportswear had come about in the 30s, but, you know, was kind of a gradual progression. And really, like the aloha shirt, for instance, that term was coined like in the late 30s. And that had a lot to do with travel that was becoming more accessible to Hawaii. So you have those sort of influences that are spreading. So by the 40s, you have a lot more people having access to those shirts. You also have, you know, military stationed in the area, and so that helped with that dissemination of new ideas and for the shirts. So By the 40s, especially the late 40s when the war was over and people weren't restricted by, you know, rationing and fabric restrictions and those sorts of things, a lot of clothing kind of exploded, you know, like much more flamboyant became popular after the war. So you'll see people like Truman. I know Bing Crosby also was known for wearing tropical shirts. So it was kind of a popular thing that was growing at that time anyway. For him, I think he happened to be president at the right time. And yeah. I think he kind of helped popularize it along with the celebrities that wore them. But on the flip side of that, he did have his critics for adopting that clothing style. There were some opinion writers at the time that felt like seeing, you know, the president of the United States on a beach in a, you know, wild sports shirt and his swim trunks was not in keeping with what he should be doing as the president of the United States. But I think by the early 50s, after he had been taking these vacations for several years and the pictures were out in the public, that the general public was okay with it.
So I'm assuming he never wore it at the White House, just over in Florida.
Correct. That is my understanding. And when the Trumans came home back to Independence after his presidency was done in 1953, they brought all of their belongings with them, and one of those things was a trunk, and it was full of these sport shirts. So that's how we now have 64 sport shirts in our collection. They appear to have been folded up and put in this trunk and put up in the attic and never touched again. Oh. So, you know, he wasn't wearing the shirts in Washington, and he didn't come home after his presidency in retirement and wear them around Independence, Missouri.
And to your knowledge, the sports shirts, they were all donated, gifted to President Truman?
That's my feeling. It's hard to pinpoint. When I was doing my research, I was trying to determine, you know, when he went to Key West, did he or his people go out and specifically buy shirts for him to wear while he was down there, or did most of these come as gifts from, you know, fans and sportswear manufacturers and people like that? And I feel like for the most part, he just received so many of these shirts that he didn't probably ever need to go out and buy his own.
Yeah.
Most of the time, like a lot of the letters that we have will say something like, you know, we like to send you 5 of the latest style, you know, so they were sending him multiples each time he went down there. And he went about twice a year. He went 11 times between 1946 and 52 down to Key West. So that's quite a few shirts and probably too many for him to wear while he's down there, perhaps, or maybe he didn't like all of them that he received. But he did share with his staff that went down there with him during these working vacations. He would pass these out, and they would be able to wear them. They had loud shirt contests. They always took kind of a class picture while they were down there. Everybody, you know, seated together, all in their tropical sport shirts, which was kind of fun to see. And even they would pass them out to the press that would travel down there with them. And so when they would have press conferences, some of the images of those you'll see, the photographers wearing the shirts and the staff and Truman, everybody's, you know, adopting the local dress. And it ended up being called the Key West uniform.
Did he ever give a reason to why he relented that, or, you know, kind of just adopted the style because he seemed resistant at first? Did he ever write anything or say anything about it?
I've never come across anything like that. I think it was more of a natural progression. I don't necessarily know that he was resistant to it. I just think the opportunity hadn't presented itself to him yet. So if someone had sent him these shirts in 1946, perhaps he would have adopted them sooner. But, you know, it could be that early on in his presidency, he was trying to be a little bit more careful about the way he was presenting himself until he kind of got his feet wet and then felt a little more comfortable showing his true colors, so to speak. Like I said, he did have, you know, quite the personality and did enjoy the fun of, like, a crazy necktie and, you know, that sort of thing. So I don't think it was beyond the realm of possibility that he would just jump right into something like this. The only other thing that I thought was interesting, the Trumans did take a Hawaiian trip after the presidency. So when they got back home, no doubt they needed a vacation, and so they took a trip in March and April of 1953 to Hawaii, and they had some friends that Truman had worked with over the years in political circles that lived out there. So they went out and spent some time out there. And so some of those pictures you can also see him wearing the sport shirt. So he did take them with him to that trip. And so you'll see him with the sport shirts and sandals and that sort of thing in some of those images of that trip.
That was Kirsten Stalling, the museum curator of the Harry S. Truman National Historic Site. The sport shirt collection that she talked about, which includes four Aloha shirts from Hawaii manufacturers, are sometimes displayed in a rotating exhibit, but most of the collection can be seen online. Visit our website at hawaiipublicradio.org for a link to the online collection.